Thought I might help you to engage in some conversation with your parents and friends when you go home for the holidays. That is, after you get through discussing the weather. I do not know what we'd do if we didn't have the weather to talk about. And you know why we talk about the weather? It's because one person in Texas knows just as much about the weather as any other person. Therefore, we meet on a common platform and discuss the weather. I thought I'd give you a little information about our student body here. Your parents would really be interested in it. You run out of conversation at the table or around the fireside. You may not know it, but they'd be interested, and your friends would be interested. They'll ask you several things about Baylor, partly as a matter of courtesy to you and compliment to you, and partly because some inquirers would like to know something about the institution. We have on the campus now, today, 3,711 students. That's the largest enrollment in the 100 years of Baylor University history at any particular time. So it's a matter of conversation and congratulations that you are a member of the largest student body on the Baylor University campus. The number of men students, approximately, is 2,500. And the approximate number of women students, 1,200. I don't know who should applaud that, whether the boys or the girls. It takes, however, about two young men to keep up with any young lady on a Baylor campus. My opinion is, with any two of you trailing any one young lady, that you'll be left far behind at almost every turn of the road. You know, Alexander Pope, in his wonderful essay on man, referred to man as the Lord of creation. But when Pope wrote his essay on man, he had never married a single man. And then Tennyson refers to woman as the weaker vessel, was it? Well, when Tennyson wrote Locksley Hall, he is also a single man. Neither one of those writers ever penned a foolish statement like that after they became married. We have veterans on our campus, and we are very proud to have them because it is the universal verdict, I think, of all the teachers, that our veterans are the highest and best type of students. At least they bring to my office splendid reports about the habits, studious manners of our veterans. Several have been in my office and they have used two or three of them this same expression. Some of them were in Baylor before they went to war activities. And they said we did not do much when we were here in Baylor before. We kind of whittled away our time. But while we were in active service, we had some time to think. We've had some time to think. And now we're back on the Baylor campus for business. That's a good thought. We have ministerial students on the campus, 325. And lawyers to look after them and keep them straight, 150. Now, we lawyers have a great responsibility right at that point. You know, we have enough Methodists here to fall from grace from time to time to keep us busy. I heard a lecture some years ago, a good many years ago, in fact, when I was a student in Baylor, and he was talking about these different religious denominations. He put forth the fact that it didn't make much difference what church you belonged to. whether or not you'd been converted, whether or not you were a Christian. He says there are 17 railroads by different names in the United States that run into the Union Station in St. Louis. It doesn't make any difference what the name of the railroad is. They run into the same Union Station. And he says these denominational trains are just trains under different names running through the world and will all head up in the great Union Station on high. Well, that was a beautiful thought to me, and then he paused for a moment. I remember the pause. He says, one train is as good as another. But as for my part, I'd rather ride on the Methodist train, because it is the only train in the world that'll back up and get you if you fall off. I see you appreciate the idea of being picked up. Of course, the Baptists, as a denomination, leads the way. The Methodists come along at 484, now on the campus. The Presbyterians line up with 110. The Lutherans are 28. Church of Christ, 56, Christian Church, 60, and we have in all 20, I'd like you to make a mental note of this, we have in all 26 different religious organizations represented now in our student body, 26. Please make a, that'll be a good thing to talk about, 26 different religious denominations, church organizations, now represented on the Baylor University campus. We have three Mormons, and I'm certainly delighted to have them here. I associated with the Mormons a week or 10 days some years ago, and not because they had numerous wives, but for many reasons I liked them very much. Then you have some Quakers on the campus. Do you ever sit down and in a home and talk to a sure enough Quaker? I don't mean one just a halfway Quaker, but a sure enough Quaker that used the language. It was my good fortune once to do that in a home where they used the vows and all the beautiful Quaker lingo that they appropriate. And it was beautiful. Lovely, enjoyable from every standpoint. And I think it shows a great university here to have these 26 different religious organizations from 37 different American states. I can make a mental note of that. 37 of the states of the nation are represented in our student body. And in addition to that, we have students from Puerto Rico and Canada and Canal Zone and Syria and Brazil. Some seven foreign countries. Now, right now, in our student body. Certainly it's fitting that all these religious organizations have their representatives. I would remind you, as I've said I think once before this year, the Baylor University commenced with one teacher, just one teacher. 14 students. The teacher was an Episcopalian preacher. And he started us right 100 years and more ago. Some time, not many months ago, a man up in Illinois was thinking about sending his son here to school, and he's Episcopalian. And in corresponding with him, I just incidentally mentioned the fact that Baylor commenced with an Episcopalian. And he wrote back a letter and said he had known for many years that Baylor University was one of the finest institutions in all the country, but he did not know why until I told him how it commenced. So we have this great enrollment here of various states, various nations, various denominations, and I expect of various political faiths and alignments. That makes a university. That gives you an opportunity to touch elbows and have comradeship and fellowship with somebody outside of your circle. If I were in your place, I'd make the acquaintance of these Mormons, and I'd make the acquaintance of these Quakers, and I'd make the acquaintance of all these from other countries and other religious affiliations, just for the comradeship of it, just to talk to them about it. They might convert some of you narrow-minded Baptists or some of you shallow-minded Methodists out there to their way of thinking. You can't tell. At least you might try them on and see what they have in their religion. If you can't fortify yours, can't stand up with it and for it, perhaps it'll do you good to listen to some of these others. I'll tell you now, if you ever tie into a Mormon, he can tell you why he's a Mormon. So I know why you're a Baptist, because your parents were. He can tell you why he is, the faith that's in him. You try one of them. See if he can. Now, you students are fixing to go home for Christmas. Some of you, most of your freshmen, have never gone home from college. I understand the casualty list, though, at the last roundup, several went home. Well, I've gone home from college, and I have come back from college. I've had children to go away from home to college and to come back home Christmas from college. Therefore, wisdom has come to me as knowledge has come to you. Wisdom lingers. Knowledge lingers, and wisdom comes, or the other way back. I don't know which it is now. Give me two. Now then, you're going home. And I want to make a few suggestions to you. You need not listen if you want, unless you want to. You can just think about anything you want to the next minute or two. You're going home, and you're going to be pointed out as a person who's been off to college. You may think you're not, but you will. You're going to your church, where it's the little country church, just one little church in the community, or in a village, or in a city. When you walk in, and you'll be known as a young lady, young man who's been off to college. Now, you be careful about your conduct. Why? This is the reason. The young lady in your community who has not been able to come to school because her mother was not able to do perhaps enough hard work or the daddy enough plowing to pay the expenses of coming, hasn't been able to come to Baylor. She'd like to come. Some boy wasn't able to pick enough cotton this past fall or plow enough corn this past summer to be able to come to college. He wanted to come, but he isn't here. He's back home. You're going to see him when you go home Christmas. Don't ignore him or her. Don't stand around and wait for Mary to come up and speak to you. You've been to college. You high up. You aristocratic. You know practically everything there is to know.
Well, sure. They've been here only 3 months, but you get back and they say, why, Mary's been off to college, been to university, come home, she knows everything. She has on a different dress to what she had when she left, and I hope so. Maybe she has on one of these little lampshade things they call a hat, I don't know. Different from what they have. They're going to be a little shy of you. They are. They're going to hesitate even to speak to you. You speak to them. You cordial with them, the old folks and the little ones and all of them. You are somebody come when you go to church or to a party or to a shindig in your community. I like to speak the lingo of the lady. So you go home and you be friendly with the people when you go out. You speak to them. Talk to them. And then I want to suggest one other thing, that one time during the holiday season, just one time, I couldn't hope for more than that, that you sit down by the fireside and have a visit with your parents. Now, I know what's going to happen. You go home and you kiss Mother and give Dad a big hug, and then across the street you go down the road to see Mary or John. John, probably. That's all right. I want you to do exactly that way. But sometime now, I want you to halfway mentally promise me this, that sometime during the Christmas season, that you sit down by the fireside and have a real visit with your parents and express to them your appreciation that they have been able to make provisions for you to come to Baylor University as a student. You tell them that you appreciate it. Now, you never thought of that in your life. You never thought of that. I don't care how much your parents have pinched and saved and cut down to the very bone to get enough money, pure money, to send you to college. And I dare say you have not up to this hour ever deeply appreciated their struggles and their toils and their sacrifice that they made to send you to school, why, to give you a better opportunity than was theirs. That's why they're pinching to send you to college. To give you a better chance in the world to fight out the battles of life than they had in their youth. That's why they're willing to make every sacrifice within their power in order that you may come to college. I know there's some of you whose parents do not have to make that sacrifice. Many of them do. But whatever class they may fall in, I suggest that you, as a fine son and as a lovely daughter, let your parents know before you come back here in January that you appreciate them all. Appreciate what they've done, what they've been to you, the name you bear, the record they've made, and especially the sacrifice they have made to enable you to be students in a great institution of learning. It is a wonderful thing. You ought to be just so happy. You ought to be the happiest group in the world. So many things to be happy about as we approach the Christmas season. We live in a wonderful republic, the best in all the world, America, the United States, the best government, the best country, greatest opportunities of any country around this earth. Grateful for that. We have only 5% of the people, only 7% of the land of the earth, and yet here beneath the American flag is more than 60% of all the wealth of all mankind around this earth. Yours, your heritage. Your heritage. I think it's a rather wonderful thing to live in Texas either because you're a native or because you may adopt it temporarily or permanently as your country. Wonderful thing. Sure, it's a wonderful thing to be an institution learning like this. Sit down and talk to your folks about it. It won't do you any harm and do them a whole lot of good. That's what the girl said when the mother reprimanded her for letting the boys kiss her. Says, "Mother, it didn't do me any harm and did the boys a lot of good." I don't say anything funny about that. Now then, one other thing, and we'll go. This Christmastide, as you sit around the fireside and have time to meditate and come back, if you think of me at all, if you think of me at all now, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to think of me at my best. If it is in the best, I want you to think of me at my best during these passing months that have gone by. We've had at least some comradeship here in the chapel and some on the campus, some here and there. I want you to think of me, if you think of me at all, I want you to think of me at my best, my very best. And adopting the idea of thinking of me at my best, think of all your friends at their best. At their best. Talk about them at their best. I even like you to think about
your teachers at their best if you can. Work up your conscience a little bit to think of your teachers at their best and say something nice about them if you can. You know the teachers might be called upon someday to say something nice about you, and that might be a hard job for them, too. But they will be called on now and then. And if your record is just all right and everything is fine, be their joy to say something about you that's good. Let us, as we go through the world now one time, we go through just once. When you go through these coming holiday seasons, you'll pass through them no more. When this chapel has been adjourned, you'll not be just as you are anymore. That'll be in the past. And the mill never grinds with the water that is past. And now then, Father, is our organ tuned up so we can sing? You tune it up while I'm talking. Because I want everybody to sing, and I believe I'll sing myself. I don't want to create any disturbance anywhere. But I believe I'll join now and then. I won't sing constantly because don't drown out your voices. But we're going to sing as our benediction, the good old Bale of Lines.